All right, let's get back into the creation psalm. Psalm 104. I think we left off at verse 25. Psalm 104. Let's read verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. We covered that last week. But what an amazing statement. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. There are so many riches in God's creation that He allows us to benefit from every single day. And I really believe that if people were more connected to God as the Creator, they would give much more thought to their need of Christ the Redeemer. But when you teach children and teach people and you indoctrinate them that there is no God, there is no law to follow, He is not the Creator, you came around by accident, there's no real purpose in this life other than what you can get out of it. There's no connection. There's no connection to God. No, you don't see the glory of the Creator and His creation. And I think it hardens people because they have no appreciation of real beauty, real glory. And when you have no moral foundation, no connection whatsoever to the Word of God or the law of God or the truth and the principles of the Word of God, then other things are going to fill the vacuum. And I believe that's where an overwhelming majority of people are in our world today. They have absolutely no thought of God. And it goes back to trying to strip Him of His creatorial power, His sovereignty, His majesty. And it does away with a person's accountability. Because if God's not the Creator, who are you really accountable to? If He's not the lawgiver, who are you accountable to for all eternity? And I really believe that people live without a sense of accountability, without a sense of responsibility. And even when they commit sin, our world has a way of excusing it, dismissing it, labeling it something other than what it really is. And I believe it goes back to these simple principles. It's why this is one of my hobby horses. One of my pet peeves is the importance of teaching creation. Teaching that God is the Creator. That He is the lawgiver. You are accountable to Him. Everything you have is because of God. In some way, shape, or form. You have athletic ability, chalk it up to God giving you that ability. You have mental acuity, God has given you the health, the wisdom, the understanding. Yet very few people ever give any thought to that. We ought to just be filled with wonder at the riches and the bounty of God. And I think creation helps us to understand that. Now, verse 25, "So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts." Well, there's a lot of ocean, isn't there? I'm not going to try to name them, because the kids would probably give me a demerit, because I made them memorize all the oceans this year and where they were located, and they had to say where they were. But I don't know, if you've been to an ocean, you see how vast it is. Pretty amazing when you think that God controls all of that water. And this verse particularly talks about things that are moving, that are creeping, that are in the ocean. Now, I've been in the ocean several times in my life. And I'll tell you what, you get out there and you can't see what's in there, and all of a sudden things start bumping into you. You realize there's a lot of stuff in there. I was reading Spurgeon today, and he said, think about how many just microorganisms there are in just one wave. Think about how much plankton there is. The smallest microbe and the largest whale are all under God's direction. When I was a kid, my parents took us to the ocean just about every year. And I swam in the ocean all the time when I was a kid. Never thought a thing about it. But there's sharks in there. This is the time of year. Everybody's thinking about sharks, you know. Well, they're there. God's in control of it all. Both small and great beasts. The immensity and variety of creation is illustrated by the sea. Look at the vastness of the ocean, its depth and width, what it contains. It ought to cause us to pause and to wonder. Have you ever seen the clips? My wife loves to watch extreme weather documentaries. It's one of her favorite things. She just loves why she loves to see how hurricanes form, how tornadoes come. But it's fascinating to me how much fury is unleashed in a hurricane. That water can wipe out an entire city. But think of all that moves within the currents of the ocean. From that smallest microbe to the largest whale, God in His wisdom sustains them all, and He makes the ocean beneficial to man. The currents determine parts of our weather. But you know what? I'm not going to go into all my expertise on that tonight, because I don't have that much expertise on how the ocean currents affect the weather. Maybe I'll study it up on it and get to it another time. Verse 26, "There go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein." Think about how America, we would not be a nation. Were it not for God giving men the ability to build a ship and really strike out by faith, thinking they're going to the Indies and coming all the way to America, to North and South America. God, you see, what shipping has done is it's enabled the world to be smaller. We get stuff shipped from all over the world by way of ships going through this ocean current. It's amazing to me. I don't know if you've ever been on a huge boat. I've been on a cruise ship. And I mean, it's just phenomenal to me. And I've also been, when I was in the Philippines, I was on these little boats, man. They were like little tugboats. And those waves would come, and that tugboat's going up and down, up and down. So I've been on all kinds of different ships to get to and fro. And it's pretty amazing how God has made a way. Think of what was the first ship that men traveled in? The ark. Who said that first? Was it Al Malo or Josh? Who was it? It was Joe? Are you saying that just because he's your brother? Oh, okay. But yeah, nobody gives credit to Noah and to his sons for obeying God, building the ark. If you haven't been to see the ark, you know, raise some money, have a lemonade stand, do something so that you can go to see how massive and majestic the ark is there at Ken Ham's place, the Ark Museum. It's fascinating. It's amazing. That's the first ship. I'll never forget when me and Tammy walked in there the first time. The thing that struck me are things that I never even thought about. All of the big vessels that had to contain grain and water and food and all those things. And places where they had to fix things and work on things. That never entered into my mind when I thought about the ark. But it's truly an amazing work. I'm shocked that Noah and his family was able to build it, to be able to persevere. And that ark, of course, the most important thing about it is it saved them from the judgment to come. And it's a perfect picture of Christ. The only way you can be saved from the judgment to come is to be in the ark of Christ. Now, God has provided the ocean to open up commerce and trading with the whole world. Now, what is this Leviathan? Now, some people say it's the whales. He's also referred to in the book of Job, the oldest book of the Bible. And it's a huge creature. We know that. Now, I personally believe that men and dinosaurs lived on the earth before the flood. They cohabitated. Now, when all the lush vegetation died out because the elimination of the greenhouse effect with the firmament and so on, you didn't have all that vegetation for the dinosaurs to feed on. So over time they became extinct. But I've often wondered if there were some dinosaurs that survived, maybe in the ocean, maybe huge creatures that we really don't know anything about. Maybe you ever seen those old shows about the knight going to slay the dragon? fire-breathing dragons. Where'd that come from? Well, it might have been dinosaurs. You had to be pretty brave to go up against one of those dudes. But God made this animal. And it says he plays in the water, in the ocean. But notice verse 27. I think it's really a key point. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in their due season. All of the creatures in God's creation wait on him. All are dependent upon the great God of heaven and earth to give them their meat in due season. You know what this tells me? That the earth's resources will be replenished by the sovereign hand of God as He sees fit. And over 6,000 years of human history, God has every single day provided the needs of all of His creation without fail. And God's hand liberally and graciously provides for all of His creation. And we would do well to think of all the times of His appointing. We're not to serve or worship or witness just when it's convenient for us. But rather, we're to wait upon God and work our schedule around His appointments. Because He should come first. And think of the good meat He's given us in Christ. The bounty, the feast that He's prepared in giving us spiritual life by partaking of Jesus Christ and the power of His death, burial, and resurrection. What a blessing to know that everything I have, spiritually and physically, it all may be attributed to God and to His grace. We'll stop there tonight.